Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Rivalry Week on The Fan.
Here's the snap on second and 10. Pressure comes, throw the screen. Pretty good one, too, trying to get away. Jumping over a player to the 25-yard. Ball came out! The ball came out! Oregon has it! First down, Oregon!
As the Oregon State Beavers make their trip to Eugene for the Oregon Ducks.
I don't get anything out of it as a fan anymore. I know Oregon State doesn't want anything to do with the game anymore.
Not right now.
I borderline don't want to watch the game this year.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Sprague. Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
It's the famous final scene.
It might be the final scene, at least for a calendar year. Welcome back in the final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, sans Dirt, food poisoning. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. I have no idea. Somebody's like, what did he eat? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to text him back. I just thumbs up and moved on. Ain't got time for that. I got a show to prep for. A lot to get to in the final hour. We'll get to the mail sack coming up here after we talk with our great ticker guest that we're carrying over from the 845 Testy Exchange. Here with Bill Oram at OregonLive.com. Mail sack questions can be submitted at 503-864-6326. Update at the bottom of the hour. But let's start. Bill Oram, OregonLive.com. You read him in the Oregonian print as well on Twitter at Bill Oram. Good evening. Good morning. However you're feeling right now, Bill. I know you're turned around a little bit what time you're supposed to be on, but it's good to have you on. I just want to know, I didn't think you got a lot of pushback in the back and forth, even though it went pretty viral locally. Where does it rank yesterday for you of your pushing and pressing questions in your media career? Like, what are some other memorable moments you've had back and forth wise with either a coach or an athlete?
Good morning. You know, I think probably, I don't know. I mean, I'm so locked in on kind of this moment and this thing right now. But the one that does come to mind is when the Lakers were falling apart in 2018. Was that 2018 when Magic Johnson? No, 2019. Magic Johnson resigned abruptly, yeah. And then the Lakers didn't have a press conference until they introduced Frank Vogel on May 20th, 2019, the day my son was born, and going to that press conference was the first time Rob Pelinka had spoken. And that morning, Magic Johnson went on First Take and said Rob Pelinka had stabbed him in the back. And so, you know, getting to ask Rob Pelinka a bunch of questions about being a backstabber and asking him if he worked for Kurt Rambis or Kurt Rambis worked for him. That one comes to mind. That one was fun. I've certainly asked coaches before whether or not they think they are the right person for the job or if they think they're going to keep their job. You know, sometimes the job calls for it. And in this instance with Trent Bray at Oregon State, I felt like it did in this moment as well.
Well, the juice for this game was already not really there. You come in yesterday and I think you bring up a valid question. What did you just make initially of, you say like, hey, why are you the man for the job? And he basically, cause I love it here. Cause I like to coach. Like, what did you make of his first answer? I know you were in a back and forth rapid fire, but what did you make of the first answer?
I thought it was milquetoast and uninspiring. And, you know, there are people who think that that's an unfair question because what is he going to say? He's not going to say no. And I would argue that it's a softball question. It's not a gotcha question. It's not unfair. I think it's a softball. It is a chance for you to like tell everyone why you think it's going better than it seems, why you believe in the direction of your program, why the results don't tell the whole story. And he didn't do that. he basically repeated the same talking points that he used in his introductory press conference, which, as you said, you know, I love this place. I think it's a special place. And as I noted in the column, if your reasons haven't evolved in the 18 months since, or nearly 2 years since you took the job, that shows me that you haven't grown since you took the job. And the results bear that out. Trent Bray's attitude toward this job bear it out. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been 2 weeks since he, you know, swore on national TV and threw his team under the bus. I don't care, you know, how you want to like wrap that up. You know, you call one of your, you know, units a joke, you are hanging your team and your coaches out to dry. I mean, I think that was fireball on its face. But the fact that like things have only gotten worse, the fact that he didn't have a solution for the long snapping crisis, the fact that, you know, the defense is worse, and I do not care what Trent Bray says. He is wrong.
I tend to agree with you.
To say that the defense in the first two games is better than a year ago is just wrong. And last year's defense was bad and had a lot of issues, and there were a ton of injuries. But the tackling, I mean, Brandon, I am not a football savant, and I own that, and I would never argue that I am. But I can watch a football game, and I know what my eyes are telling me. And when guys are getting juked out of their cleats, when they're falling over, when it seems like they have, you know, KY jelly on their hands as guys slip through tackles, it tells me that there's something wrong. And this defense just doesn't have it. And when you basically are staking your entire credibility as a coach on the defense, that is your thing. You take over the defensive play calling because you are the only one who can come in and save it from the disaster that was last year, and it gets worse. That tells me there's something wrong. So I think there are issues all over the field there. And I just want to say this other thing too.
Yeah.
You know when you have the right coach, and you know when you don't have the right coach. Mm-hmm. And right now, Oregon State does not have the right coach. And when it becomes a question of when, not if, you're going to fire him, and I think pretty universally, even the people who think that it was unfair or premature to call for his firing, which is not something I take lightly, even if you think it was premature, I think pretty universally people agree that it is a question of when, not if, he will be fired. And once you agree that it's when, not if, then the answer to when is right now.
You know, Bill Orme's our guest here, OregonLive.com. Got a great article up there. This is the outcome Oregon State can control. Beavers must fire Trent Bray, to what you just said. You don't like to write these, but every once in a while, it's like, what else are you supposed to say? There was a moment in the 3rd and 26 play, the running back for Tech, he caught the screen pass. They came out of a timeout. They looked like they had never talked about how to tackle on that play. There was a number 6 player for the Beavers. If people go watch the replay, he had an easy tackle on that player to go out of bounds and stop him at the 15. He gently pushes him. The running back remains on his rush lane and scores an easy touchdown. And I went and rewound it and watched it twice. And I'm like, that's effort. That's care. And there is none of it. I'm with you 100% on the defense. Like, take away the punt return, Fresno State's offense still scored 29 on you. You want to go back to Cal and say, well, it's too easy, quick touchdowns. Well, how did they get set up for touchdowns? How about 12 men on the field? You give the ball back. They score an easy touchdown. Like, there's just no indication. And you can't dismiss what Texas Tech just did to you, dude. That's the game. That's the result. I found that answer weak and a cop-out and inaccurate in every possible way. And I want to like Trent Bray, but I think you're 100% right. Because even if the people that think you're prematurely calling for it, okay, so what's your threshold here? Get housed in Eugene? We know that's going to happen this week. Oregon didn't play their cleanest game. All right, and then what next week? Can you play Houston at home? Houston just handled Colorado. They're going to be probably a 10-point favorite in your building. There's going to be 8,000 people at that game. Then what? Then that point, like, if you tell me the difference between firing him now versus in 3 weeks, then you're telling me he should be fired. Like, to your point, that's exactly what that's telling me. Do you have any indication or intel or read that this athletic department is even awake to consider this stuff right now? Where are they at right now?
That's a good question. I've gotten sort of mixed signals. I think the big question is where is Scott Barnes? Where's J.F.E. Murphy? And those are the two that I think are tough to read. I don't think Trent Bray has made a ton of friends as a head coach for the same reason I've talked about. You know, he is not good at the duties of being the CEO of the football program. You know, he wants to coach ball, and that, you know, I think, you know, he has created a bit of a silo within the football program where, you know, I don't know that he has, you know, I don't know if Scott Barnes has, you know, developed a real fondness for Trent Bray in this role. or not. I don't mean to say that one way or the other, but I just don't get a sense that, you know, Trent Bray has a ton of allies in that athletic department or at that university beyond, you know, the appreciation for what he did in a moment of crisis, because it cannot be overlooked. And it is 100% a part of this conversation that he was loyal to Oregon State in a moment where that school was desperate for somebody to stand up for it and to stand up and fight for Oregon State. And he did do that. And that should be remembered and celebrated and part of his legacy 100%. Doesn't mean he's a good head coach.
Yeah, it's a little bit of the Blazer Cronin thing. Like, they were going to hire Joe Cronin. They did no interviews. And maybe Joe will prove that his roster management's the right move, right, in basketball. But I'm kind of torn here. I felt this way when they hired him, and I didn't know what he was going to be, right? But I just felt like it was the easy cop-out. You know, I said I was going to say, it feels like an institution athletically, the men's program is kind of irrelevant, if not completely. I know the baseball team is still good. The women's basketball team is kind of their, you know, they carry the torch till they get to baseball season at this point. Football is just completely fallen off a cliff. And they're a point where an entire restart almost feels worthy, and they need to go hire somebody to see what Tulane did. You need to go look at the programs around the country who don't have a lot of great funding. They're not in a power conference, because this woe is me, everybody left us, we just accept our fate, and it is what it is. I hate that defeatist mentality. And so instead of being proactive and saying, no, we can do okay, we can get out of this, it just kind of felt to me an easy, oh, it's the guy who played here and some players like him. And I don't know if I liked that move in the moment, and it's not worked out so far for him.
Well, and I think that there is a real, especially over the last couple of years, but I also think throughout history, there's a real victim mentality at Oregon State and a real woe is me.
Yes.
And a lot of, you know, who else could do better, because we were left for dead by the Pac-12. And that's true. But you can go back to when Jonathan Smith left, and I wrote a column sort of, you know, throwing out a few names. You know, somebody I thought would have been great at Oregon State was Jason Eck. Now, Jason Eck was at Idaho. He's now New Mexico, just beat UCLA in the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jason Eck was not available to Oregon State when they needed to make a hire. Neither was Brent Vegan at Montana State, who's another guy who should be on every, you know, mid-major, group of five programs radar if they have an opening. Because the FCS playoffs were starting, and Oregon State needed a coach right freaking now. Because the portal was opening, they were trying to preserve their roster, they were trying to keep that team intact, they were trying to keep the very thing that ended up happening from happening. Mm-hmm. So you hire Trent Bray to preserve what you have, and then everybody leaves anyway. So it didn't work,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't get a coaching search, and you didn't get to go out and do a national search and try to hire the best possible person. Because if you did wait until mid-December, you know, to do that comprehensive search, maybe you are able to hire Jason Eck. Maybe you do hire Brent Vegan. Maybe you hire Trent Bray anyway. But because you felt like the most urgent thing was to, you know, secure the house, which I completely understand. I do not begrudge them for that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a decision made out of necessary haste, and it didn't pay off immediately, and it has not paid off in the what I guess you consider the medium term. Like, we haven't seen the long term results here, but it has not paid off in the short to medium term. So what are you getting out of this decision other than, well, this is the guy we hired, so we need to ride it out? You don't need to ride it out. UCLA just showed you don't need to ride it out. Virginia Tech just showed that you don't need to ride it out. Like, you can make decisions, and this is the point that, like, pushed me the most to write this. Oregon State has done this, you know, thing where it's like, oh, all these bad things keep happening to us, and there's nothing we can do about it because we're Oregon State, and we're getting, you know, flopped around by the TV networks and by Oregon, and like, we're just getting beaten up. This is something that Oregon State can control. Do you have the right football coach? If the answer is no, you can control that. And that's why I think it's imperative that they make this decision and get the train back on the tracks and show that you're taking matters into your own hands on the one thing you can't control. To me, it's just not even a question.
Two more for you, because we do appreciate you hopping on today. Yesterday was very interesting to watch some pushback in those press conferences. You don't get a lot of that anymore, especially at that university. It's a lot of softball layup ones. So I enjoyed the back and forth. I guess what I would ask you is, And it look, if it's a guess, that's a guess. There's no like holding your feet to the fire here. Do you think there's an element of like, is it 0-5? Is it losing to App State on the road? Like, is it getting bludgeoned at Eugene? Your best possible guess? Or do you think they honestly might ride this out for the whole year and just say, oh, 3-9, 4-8, and then we'll move on at that point?
In my opinion, okay, so there's what I think mm-hmm. should happen, mm-hmm. and then there's what I think is probably more likely to happen.
Right.
For example, like, we didn't think that Oregon State could beat Washington State at home last year when they were in the middle of that brutal losing streak. And then, lo and behold, Bengal Branson has a great game. You get the game-winning field goal by Everett Hayes at the end, and the Beavers beat Washington State at home for some feel-good at the end of the year. They still lost, 5-6 to mm-hmm. end the season? 6-7? 5-6. Mm-hmm. But that little bit of like juice, like, made you feel a little bit better about things at the end of last season. So I say that as a caveat, because I do sort of see the Beavers finding a way to bounce back in one of these games that they're going to be underdogs in, either home against Houston or at Appalachian State. I think there's talent. I think Malik Murphy is good. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some pride that kicks in. And what I would hate to see Oregon State get like one of those sort of like out of nowhere or unexpected victories and then say, see, we've got the right guy after all. And then you finish 2-10. And now you're like, well, we didn't fire him, so now we've got to give him another recruiting cycle. Mm-hmm. And you go into next year with a guy that you probably don't feel that good about and don't think is the right guy. So that would be my case for firing him now, because it doesn't really matter what happens going forward, because what's happened up to this point is damning enough. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I see a lot of that, like, proactive sort of mentality at Oregon State from the administration there. He cannot be the coach of this team if they're 0-6. You cannot bring him home to coach against Wake Forest if they are 0-6. I think that if you get thrashed by Oregon, yes, absolutely. And things don't get better, and it looks like it did against Texas Tech, and the team gives up in the way it did, absolutely. The problem is, if you start getting into like trying to like think this stuff through, you've got a short week with Houston coming to town on Friday.
Yeah.
So you're going to give the interim now like, one less day to prepare against a good opponent coming in. Well, that doesn't seem like an ideal time. And so, as I noted in the column, there isn't an ideal time to do this in season. But also, it's already screwed, Brandon, because we're having this conversation. So how much worse could it possibly make it by firing a guy at an imperfect time? If they're 0-6, I don't think he coaches against Wake Forest. I don't think he gets that far. I think that he is on, I think that we should be on high alert every day, each week at this point. I think it could happen after the Oregon game, depending on exactly how that goes. I think it could happen after the Houston game, depending on how that goes. If they are 0-6 and they lose at App State, I do not think that he is the head coach at Oregon State any longer.
Good stuff, man. No juice to the game this weekend, but it's basically watching a Trent Bray job alert, and what is Oregon going to choose to win that game by is kind of where that game unfortunately sits. As you've noted before in your reporting, probably going to get kicked back into 2027. Dan Lanning talked about it yesterday of wanting that game because of the schedule and being able to stay in state, and it matters to some of the local kids that end up on that team. Final one for you. You got another story up at OregonLive.com. You got the Trent Bray article. You got another one that was posted just a couple hours ago. You want to give readers a heads up of what it is?
Yeah, so people who have been following along might remember that last year we did a series on a guy named Brett Hollins, who was a basketball player at Southern Oregon University. He was the oldest player in college basketball at the time, 29 years old. He was the captain there. He had spent 4 years in prison for an assault that was at a college party in Ashland in 2016. He stabbed two students during that brawl. He went to prison. We told the story sort of his journey through that whole situation, through college, returning to play college basketball and achieving his dream. And he's doing something cool, really cool right now, which is that he's on a tour of Oregon prisons and going into different prisons and teaching a class that he developed while he was in prison to give inmates hope, to offer them sort of a glimpse of what redemption can look like, how to reintegrate to society. Second chances, which I recognize is a little bit ironic because I'm sitting here saying Trent Bray does not deserve a second chance, but in life, second chances and the power of getting back out there in the world. And he's also putting on a basketball game in each of these prisons. So mm-hmm. Sean Mager, who is a visual journalist for us, did the original story with me. He and I went out to Snake River Correctional Institution in Ontario last week, and we, chronicled this part of Brett's journey. And, you know, he's got a foundation called the Side Door Foundation, which is a nonprofit that's devoted to teaching these kinds of themes and spreading the word, about people who have committed crimes, reintegrating to society. And, you know, he's trying to get that off the ground, and he's doing it right now through prisons. A cool little nugget is that he's going to be at OSCI, the Oregon State Correctional Institution, today in Salem doing this, you know, teaching his class, having the basketball game, which was just a lot of fun to watch. And he's going to have a special guest there today, and that's going to be Wayne Tinkle from Oregon State, who was one of his, you know, real advocates when he was in prison, and who really, has stayed in touch with Brett. And Wayne's going to go join him at the prison in Salem today and hang out for the basketball game, which is just a really a cool full circle moment for Brett and for Wayne. So I'm excited to hear more about that today too.
There we go. Good stuff. Bill Orem, OregonLive.com. If Bray is let go, he will get a second chance. He'll just be a D coordinator somewhere because he is a good defensive mind. Find all his great work, OregonLive.com. Thank you, Bill. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Bill Orem. We are way over. Let's get to the mail sack. Good stuff from Bill Orem. You can find his articles at OregonLive.com. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, unfortunately, the clock says we need to break here, and it's a Mail Sack Tuesday. Went super long with Bill Orem.
Yeah, Bill had a lot to unpack there.
Not a lot. Not very often you're in a situation where, like, fire the guy. We've been there a couple times with the Blazers. Should we fire this guy? But,
yeah,
you know, I think to his larger point, and I was told the Reddit page for Oregon State is like, it's a hit piece. I'm like, what are you people holding on to?
I don't know.
You can't point to any positives. The defense sucks. The special teams, disaster. The offensive line can't stop false starting.
And you always go back to, okay, you may not necessarily be part of the problem, but are you part of the solution?
That's what you need. I was telling Patrick this. Like, I would agree with this. And we don't have time. We need to get to the mail sack. So I'm sorry here, guys.
That's okay.
I would add this, and then we'll get to the mail sack. Having gone to Oregon State and covered the program, and talked about it now here on the radio for over a decade, I largely don't argue or disagree with anybody who says there's always kind of been a woe is me mentality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whoa, we're getting railroaded. Like, yeah, I was so sorry for so many people at Oregon State when the conference died, but they've never been proactive there. It's always been a laid back. And this idea that I saw this on the internet, so the internet's true, right? We need to bring in Mike Riley as a holdover coach. And I'm like, I love Mike Riley. He's one of my favorite people.
If you want to have Mike be a consultant who knows everything behind the scenes, how Corvallis works for somebody that's coming in from somewhere else, money well spent.
Move forward. Stop with this whole what happened in 98.
But he can't go back and be the face of the program again.
Move forward. It sucks, but you need to move forward and you need to stop crying in a mirror. And I hate that I have to say that, but there's just people that exist that think this is a hit piece. And I'm like, did you guys watch that game? Because I did. Did you watch Fresno State? I did.
And maybe this Saturday will finally be the thing.
I don't think it's going to get to Wake Forest. I think if he gets absolutely housed,
I think
this weekend,
after Houston. I do understand the point. If you want to do it after today, it is a short week.
Yeah, and what do you... Have we heard anything from Barnes? Has he publicly stated anything?
Not that I am aware
of. That makes my antennas go up a little bit. Until I see a statement from him, my antennas are up. That guy's gone dark, gone quiet. You get housed at Oregon, it live. I think it's absolutely live. And
because
be ready
when he goes to have that press conference, he has to have a plan not only for the rest of the season, but then what the grandmaster plan is moving forward.
Well, you can't come out after losing 45-14 and say we weren't ready. I mean, that's not the last literal thing you want to hear from the head coach. So we'll see where it goes. Let's get to the mail sack. We went really long there, so we'll extend the mail sack over. Dirt and Sprague back with more. Oh, man, tough day in Portland with the traffic. It started when we were going into work.
Yeah, and I got that. I got
the alert,
basically, shortly after I got in at 5.
I saw this from our P1 Tyler, so I always appreciate when we get this passed along. The ODOT, they sent out an alert cleanup of the crash blocking multiple lanes on 205 at Southeast Powell is going well. Man, I hope everybody's all right.
Yeah.
I saw the red lights early.
Through the median and lanes both ways were blocked.
I narrowly escaped being caught in it because I saw the red lights. I didn't have my ways up because I never do that at a time. Yeah. And I went.
I actually sent you I got in and saw that. And I sent you a text because I didn't know which way you were coming. And I was half expecting if you didn't see it.
Dude, I might not have made the show.
5:45.
Not exited.
Swag. I don't know what to do.
I'm solo, and you're going to need to be solo to start. Let's get to our mail sack. We started way late, dude. I am so sorry about this.
I knew Bill was going to go long. There was a lot to unpack with Bill.
I know.
That's okay.
All right, let's get to the mail sack.
Mail sack.
I will not get to all the questions today, but I'll save some. Maybe we can carry it over a little mail sack Wednesday for ourselves.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Lucy Burge Wednesday, mail sack Wednesday, Dirty Paul Wednesday.
Yeah.
Now, if he's still sick, then I don't know how that's going to go.
Then I'm not buying the food poisoning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't know what the level of food poisoning he has. How dare you call that out on air. HIPAA violations, my man. Let's start with this. This one's a food-related question. Would you go vegan for 6 days a week, but the seventh day you can eat whatever you want without any weight gain?
No.
So literally all day. You can wake up, eat cake. You could have steak and mashed potatoes. You could have a follow-up meal, fried chicken, little baby back ribs, and maybe for dessert, pie or cannoli, as you just got from Danny Meringue.
No.
I went vegan for 11 days. I did try it. I will tell you, by the 11th day, I was about done, but I also hadn't properly prepared. I just wanted to see what it was like. I'm going to respectfully say no to this. But there are some delightful little vegan dishes you can have. Mail sack, what food item would make you the most upset to get food poisoning from?
Ooh.
It's a good question. You eat it and it makes you get food poisoning. It's an item. What is it that you love that has maybe ruined the item for a few weeks? Because we asked earlier, how long do you stay away from a place or a food item if
probably,
you get food
probably steak. Like if I got...
Like a bad steak, a bad cut of meat.
Yeah,
something
somehow
in
the meat was, you know, contaminated or something.
Mm.
That would, I'd be most frustrated there.
That's pretty frustrating. I think mine would be pie because pie is my favorite dessert. So to have a pie ruined.
Yeah, but you're not eating a ton of desserts, are you? According to what you
told us. No, I just handed you the cannoli.
I know.
I was offered a cannoli, and you know how hard it is to say no to a cannoli?
How often do you have a pie, slice of pie, let alone a whole pie?
A whole pie I don't have very often.
Yeah.
But that just depends on the attitude of the person.
Ah. Okay.
It'd have to be more of a week-to-week item. A breakfast item. If it was...
Ooh, eggs?
Yeah, eggs and bacon and hash browns and I had a plate of food and I got food poisoning, it would bother me. Bother me immensely. A breakfast burrito with sausage in it, that would bother me immensely. What rivalry survives the longest? The Apple Cup? Or the Civil War? I think this is a trick question, actually. So the Civil War is older than the Apple Cup.
They've played it longer. But if you want to talk about what at this point goes longer in perpetuity, it will be the Apple Cup.
See, I think they're going to go the same distance. I think it's going to be a year off next year, Civil War, back in 27. And I think they're always going to schedule this game. I think it's going to last. They're going to both be hand in hand. Distance-wise.
I think there's more genuine hatred that they would want to, even if Washington State's been getting their ass kicked for a decade and a half, they still want that game, as opposed to, I think, the Beavs are at a point where they could be getting beat into submission, where they just give up.
Yeah.
I don't think either one
what
is
Washington
going.
Washington does that this weekend, and this is not even the best Washington version.
It's a different sense up there. There's still too much just vitriol towards.
I think Oregon State fan hates Oregon.
They do. But I think they're also. I just think it's different. I think they're just to the shoulder shrug of there's no ever way. It's just futile. Like, you're there.
Well, that was I'll get to one of the other questions that we had related to the Civil War of Duck fan perspective. Now, they wanted Dirt's answer, obviously. Dirt's not here today. I'm not going to try to answer, but it really was an open-ended, how do Duck fans feel this weekend? Like, you know you're going to win. You know you're going to win comfortably going away. You did last year. It was never in doubt. Where are Duck fans on this game? Because we know where Beaver fans are at. They're pretty upset. They're frustrated.
They're upset, and it's a hide your eyes game.
It feels hopeless. And, where are Duck fans at? Is it like we know we're going to win, and we don't really have an emotional attachment to the game? Like, here's an example. Joey Harrington is on with Isaac Atsouk every Friday, right? Yes. Joey Harrington could wax poetic about this game.
Yes.
The memories, the feelings. He grew up in Portland. He got to play in this game multiple years. He could give you a former player answer that elicits emotion.
Yeah.
But I would wonder even he would look at this and someone like him and say, feels off. Yeah. Doesn't feel, this used to feel and mean something. And maybe it still does to some. I can't pretend to know. But I am curious what the Duck fan response is to this weekend, given where the current state of the two programs are at.
I think it's a reserve because they know how bad it is at Corvallis, and so they don't want to make light of it.
They also hear a lot from Beav fans who pop off about them buying everything. So I think there's a combination there they know, but
so does every other program.
That's true. Yeah, every time they get a commit,
I mean, Gundy
from Ohio
just
State.
Did it, for crying out loud. So they're like, that's just water.
That's
off.
The narrative of the university in general. Yeah, there's no doubt. You're not wrong. It is something that people usually point to. USC fans did this. Ohio State fans now doing this.
Oh, Husky fans will do it.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Sorry, Husky fans. There's a lot of dough in the Tyee Club. Okay. You can write some damn checks too.
I mean, yeah. More mail sack. We'll carry it over. Got a few more mail sack questions in. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I appreciate somebody picking up on the a-hole pie reference. Swag certainly didn't.
No. I've been I know. Trying to do two things at once here all morning.
What? You? At Odyssey? Great Scott! A couple of thoughts real quick. I'll get back to a couple of mail sack questions. Tomorrow is a Lucy Burge Wednesday. She'll join us on the YouTubes.
Yes.
In the 9 a.m. hour. We'll get to Satter's story as well. I don't know if Dirt will be back, but if he is, we'll do the dirty poll.
Exactly.
If he isn't, we'll figure out what's going to happen there. Hold on. Guys, see the text line sometimes. It just, jumbles together. As a Duck fan in the past, I would rejoice in beating down the Beavers, but with what's going on at OSU, it's just cringe and pity at this point. This used to be an impossible ticket to get, and now I know people trying to give me their tickets for Saturday. Amen, brother. Amen. Or sister. Amen. Yeah. I used to try to get these tickets as soon as I could. I didn't care what the result largely was going to be. it just meant something because of the conference, and now that's gone away and things have gone the way that they have. Somebody's disagreeing with you, Swag. They want the Apple Cup to be gone with Washington State regards. They're done with it. They don't feel the way that you describe, but that's just one person texting.
That's just one person. I get the sense.
I know Furness hates that this is becoming a neutral field game, and that
that is part true
ridiculous because the Huskies are in Seattle.
So yeah, but I think Wazoo and Coug fans relish the chance to try to take down the Huskies every year.
More they did last year. That was a lot of fun. That was a crazy game. We'll see if they could do it this year. They're not coming off of the greatest game to do it. Somebody else says, I hate the Beavs. I hope we kick their ass by 70. Yeah.
Another one. I think
one. You can.
It's really just a matter of.
You could score 100 points on this team if you
could.
Wanted to.
They could have. I'll be shocked if they don't have 50 by halftime.
Really?
I don't see Dan Lanning pulling his guys in the second quarter.
He certainly suggested that this is a rebound play better game for them, and it matters to some of the players, so it will matter a lot to Dan Lanning.
I think he wants to see attention to detail, everybody do their job, stay on your blocks.
What was the final last year? Was it 40-something to 14?
Let me go look.
Because that I just think Lanning also operates in a sicko world, and I mean that as a compliment where –
I think he
lost the first time they played this game.
And I don't think he's going to look at the scoreboard in the first half. I think he's more interested on play-by-play.
Yes,
how are his guys executing? Is everybody doing their jobs? Let me get a lot of guys into the game, that sort of thing. It was... No, I don't want that. Give me that. 49-14.
Can you pull that, please? I don't want that. Give me that. Can you pull that? Yeah. That's great. As a Duck fan, it just feels sad. Everyone wants their rival to have a pulse so you can beat them, and it feels good. This feels like kicking the dude that got knocked out in a parking lot fight.
Yeah.
Oh, you're knocked out already. Somebody says, if Durst's not in, we Sprague in the poll? You know what? I might give you my dirty poll. My
what?
Sprague poll? I didn't say any of that right. I'm sorry. Oh. Read a couple more. This is a good one. 100 days till Christmas. I didn't know that. That's a fun fact. What?
It's still summer. Can we just slow down and enjoy
Can I get to the question?
Okay.
Most memorable sports present you ever received. Jeez. It's a fun fact. It's 100 days away. They're playing the commercials on every ESPN.
I still go back to, I was 8 years, 7 or 8 years old, and it was the first time I got Blazer tickets.
Dude. Oh, my God. Exact same answer.
Yeah.
Mine was, so my mom had a boyfriend, one of many, but she had a boyfriend once upon a time for a minute, and he was really nice to us. Like, he was a father figure to me and my brother. Like, he didn't need to be, and he was. He gave me Blazer tickets, but he did it in a clues.
Ah.
So he'd give me a gift, and it would be like, the first gift was tissues. And I was like, a box of tissues? What? And then the next gift. And then the next gift was, I can't, maybe an airplane. I think it was like a little airplane.
Okay.
And then the next gift was one of the Dairy Queen Blazer cups that they used to have, the throwback ones they used to give out. And like eventually, I think there was like a rocket ship there. Eventually, and it took me a while because I was a stupid kid. Like, he was probably like, damn, dude, it really got to 7 gifts? Eventually, I figured out. It was nosebleed seats at a Blazer Houston game.
There you go.
It was my first Blazer tickets that I ever went to.
Mine was the Nuggets.
That. Ah, the Nugs.
It was, I think January or February. I think it was 79. And, Dan Issel was still.
I was going to ask if Dan Issel was
the. Yeah, Dan Issel. I think Jeff Hanslick might have been on that team.
Okay.
I don't know, but, yeah.
All right, look at that, same
answer. Sitting in the upper deck at Memorial Coliseum.
I had some pretty cool ones. My mom got me some Jerry Rice cards a couple years. Those ones were really special to me. I still have them. I got the plastic Pee-wee football toy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I got those. Like, there are some really cool ones.
And then in junior high, kind of 6th grade through 9th, 10th grade, I always got tickets to the Far West Classic.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. My buddy and I, my parents, they just dropped me off down there.
That's pretty cool.
It was awesome.
My 10th grade Christmas present was my mom saying, you have a roof over your head. Well, and I said, thanks.
Thank you.
My little brother got 2 gifts, though. That hurt. That hurt a lot. Like, how did this happen? How did he get 2? I got none. But yeah, probably Blazer tickets for me as well. Shout out Scott Jarmer. Wherever you are, thank you. That was a memorable moment for me. Didn't get to almost half of the mail sack.
That's okay.
I feel like that happens weekly with us. You know what I'm going to do? I have them all written down. If any trickle in, I'll try to jot them as quickly as I can before I turn and burn to Patrick.
Maybe we'll have some early mail sack leftovers. We got to see if Dirt...
We have no idea if he's alive. Yeah. I hope he is. I hope he's doing okay.
I hope he's sleeping.
I hope he's not Bradley Cooper hugging a toilet wedding crashers like.
No.
But
he got it all out of his system, and now he's sleeping.
That's going to do it for us. We'll see if Dirt's back tomorrow. If he does, we'll have the Dirty Pole release. Lucy Burge will join the show as she does every Wednesday on the YouTubes. And 105.1 The Fan.
Yeah, we need her to handicap the who's going to actually finish with the most home runs this season, because Schwarber is
on
Big Dumper's heels.
Okay, we'll get her answer on that one. Loaded lineup, as it always is on The Fan. The Firm with Harrison Marenks coming up after us. Ducks Insider from 1 to 2, 2 to 3. Happy Hour, Luke Anderson. And, of course, 3 to 7 taking you home is Primetime with Isaac and Suk. Thank you, everybody, on The Fan text line, on the YouTube chats, for hanging with us today. Dirt and Sprague, we'll be back tomorrow on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan and The Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.